Okay, thank you very much. Today's daf is daf Samach. We were on Nun Tes Amud Beis. So just to review what the Gemara is discussing. On the very bottom, of Nun Tes Amud Aleph, the Gemara said that even if the inner altar, the Mizbeach HaPnimi, would be uprooted, according to Rav Gidel Amarav, you could still offer Ketores in the place where the golden altar stood. And so the Gemara says, right after that, what's the lesson? So Gemara said, even though that's true about the golden altar, it wouldn't be true about the outer altar. The outer altar, the blood has to be sprinkled on the outer altar. And that's why if the outer altar were to be damaged, you couldn't continue with Karbanos. Gemara said, what's the proof? From the fact of Reb Yehuda, even Reb Yehuda who thinks that the floor has the sanctity of the altar and you can make fires anywhere along the floor of the Azara to burn karbanos in them. He agrees that the blood has to be sprinkled on the outer altar. Where did Reb Yehuda say this? So Gemara quotes a braisa. The pasuk says that Shlomo HaMelech...
Mazal tov.
The pasuk says, "Bayomahu," are on the very bottom here of Nun Tes Amud Aleph. "Bayomahu," on that day, "Kidash Hamelech Tochechatzer," the king consecrated the inside of the courtyard. Asher lifnei beis Hashem, ki asa sham es haolav es hamincha ves chel ve'ashlamim. He made there, in the courtyard, the Ola, the Mincha, and the Chel v'Ashlamim, Ki Mizbach HaNachosh Shel Lifnei Hashem Katon Mi'achil Es HaOla Ves HaMincha Ves Chel v'Ashlamim. Because the Mizbeach of copper that Moshe Rabbeinu had made, right, this is Shlomo making the Mizbeach of stone, the Mizbeach of copper that Moshe had made was too small from all the sacrifices. So Gemara says, now here on the last line of Nun Tes Amud Aleph, Dvaran kichsavan divrei Yehuda. According to Yehuda, this is literal. Literal, the Mizbeach of Moshe is too small for all the sacrifices that Shlomo HaMelech had to bring to inaugurate the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to see it was 142,000 sacrifices. So he made a big... the Mizbeach was too small. So he consecrated the whole courtyard.
Wasn't that not kosher to do shech on the floor because underneath it is hollow. Mm. So you know, Mishkan was attached to the
nice,
but this underneath was hollow.
Good. So he must disagree with that lesson. That's right. He must disagree with that lesson of Mizbach Adama that you can't have underneath it being hollow. Rabbi Yehuda must disagree. So now the very end of Nun Tes Amud Aleph, Amalei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says to Rabbi Yehuda, the math is not true. Starting on the top of Nun Tes Amud Beis, Halok Varnemar, it said earlier that Shlomo HaMelech, using the Mizbeach of Moshe, Elef Olos Yala Shlomo Ala Mizbeach Ahu. Shlomo in one day was able to burn 1,000 olos. Let's figure out the math. The Mizbeach of Moshe was not very large. It wasn't very large. The area of the fire was only one amma by one amma. And even so, he was able to offer in that area 1,000 olos.
That's Shlomo or Moshe?
What's that? Shlomo. Because
thousand
the whole...
By thousand? By one?
Yeah. Because it was five amos by five amos. Within those five amos, On each side, you have to take out an amma for the corners. So an amma of the corner area, another amma of the corner area. So now you're down to
three
ammos in length. And then you take out another amma on each side because you have to have area for the Kohanim to walk around. So now you're down to one amma. So one amma by one amma, that's where the fire was. And in that one amma by one amma, and 1.5 feet by 1.5 feet, he was able to offer 1,000 olos. Now, one second. The Ilu Bevei Solamin, but that's all on Moshe Rabbeinu's copper altar. The Bevei Solamin, the altar of the Beis HaMikdash, was much bigger. It was much bigger. It was 20 times the size. The area where you could have fires was 20 amos by 20 amos. So 20 times 1. So if in 1 you could offer 1,000 karbanos, that means in the 20 by 20, you could have offered, you know, 1 by 1, you could offer 1,000 amo, you can offer 1,000 karbanos. In 20 by 20, you could offer 400,000 karbanos.
We're talking about multiple fires all over.
True, but the area of the fires was 20 by 20. So, V'ilu B'vei Solamu Omer, but it says here, how many karbanos was Shlomo offering on the first day? Vayizbach Shlomo Zevach HaShlomo Shezevach LaHashem Bakar Esther Mushnaim Elef, 22,000 cattle and another 120,000 sheep. So, if Shlomo has to offer 142,000 and he has space, he has capacity for 400,000, why would he have to consecrate the whole courtyard? That's what Rabbi Yossi asks on Rabbi Yehuda. So when you come to the calculations, you find that the capacity was much more than this. So therefore, Elamau Katan Mehachil, Rabbi Yossi says, not like Rabbi Yehuda. What does the verse mean when it says that the Mizbeach was too small to contain? It doesn't mean it was too small. It wasn't too small. It was fine. It could have, it's not referring to the Mizbeach of stone that that Shlomo made that was too small for all the karbanos. What it means is that this, there's now a new Mizbeach in town. The Mizbeach of copper is gone. We're not going to use that anymore. That's what the verse is saying. And instead of saying that the Mizbeach of copper is no good, it's kadem omer lechaver ploni nanasu pasalavon. It's like a guy saying to his friend, you know, so-and-so, he's a midget. What did he really mean to say? He meant to say that so-and-so can't do the service. But instead of saying an offensive thing, you can't do the service, he just says he's a midget. And you figure out he can't do the service. So it's saying the Mizbeach is too small. It means the Mizbeach of Moshe is too small. And therefore, you can't use Mizbeach of Moshe. Now we use Mizbeach of Shlomo. Not that the Mizbeach of Shlomo was too small, and therefore the courtyard was made holy. So again, according to Yehuda, the way to read the verse is that the Mizbeach of Shlomo was too small for the 142,000 karbanos that were going to be offered that day. So the floor of the Azara itself was made to have the status of Mizbeach in regards to lighting fires. According to Rabbi Yossi, that's not what the verse is saying. So now, the reason why we're quoting this is because we want to establish that even according to Yehuda, who says that the floor has the status of Mizbeach, that's only in regards to lighting fires and burning the insides in it. But the blood will have to go literally on a Mizbeach. The Gemara now explains, Rabbi Yehuda, now Rabbi Yehuda, Shaper come Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi has a great point. The math doesn't work for what Rabbi Yehuda is proposing the verse is saying. So Gemara says like this, Rabbi Yehuda Letamer, Rabbi Yehuda thinks that the Mizbeach of copper was bigger than 5 by 5. Damar Mizbeach Shasa Moshe Gadol Haya. The Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu was much bigger. It was 10 by 10. So if the Mizbeach of Moshe was 10 by 10, then you subtract one amma on each side for the corners. So now we became 8 by 8. Then you subtract another amma on each side for the Kohanim to walk around, you become 6 by 6. 6 by 6 is 36 square amos. So 36 square amos, he was able to offer 1,000 korbanos. Now you go to the Mizbeach that Shlomo HaMelech made. That, as we said, was 20 by 20. 400 square amos. So in 400 square amos, if 36 square amos is enough for 1,000 karbanos, so what would 400 square amos be?
12,000.
Okay, 12,000 karbanos. But Shlomo is offering 142,000 karbanos. So then that's not big enough. That's why you have to consecrate the courtyard floor.
Rabbi, you're talking about 25 shefts per second here for 14,000 in a day.
Well, the shefting is not a problem. You have Kohanim doing that.
I understand, but you're talking about
142,000 karbanos.
It's not physically possible.
It was done. Miracles also the base
of Mikdash. How do the animals go on the fire? They just get thrown on the fire?
No, they get cut up to pieces and the pieces get thrown into the fire.
Right,
Yeah, what's the question? Right.
And they didn't mention.
That's right. Maybe this was miracles also.
Why didn't they use the Arabs instead of...
No, only Kohanim, the Kohanim have the privilege. No, we don't do that. Titania, we learned in a Braisa. About the Mizbeach that Moshe made. The verse says, Chamesh Amos Orech v'Chamesh Amos Rochat, 5 Amos long, 5 Amos wide. Rabbi Yossi says that the Mizbeach of copper made by Moshe was 5 amos by 5 amos. Rabbi Yehuda says it was more than that. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ne'amar kan ravua, there's a gzera shava. It says here it was squared. Ne'amar lahalan, it says in regards to the area of the fires on the Mizbeach that Yechezkel speaks about, that's also ravua squared. So Mala Halan, just like over there in Yechezkel, where it talks about the areas of the fires, Mayam Tse'iso Hayamodet, it's counting from the middle. When it says 12, it doesn't mean 12 by 12. It means actually 24 by 24. Afkan Mayam Tse'iso Hayamodet, here too. When it says 5 by 5, it means really 10 by 10. It means in the middle, 5 to this direction, there's also 5 to that direction. 5 to this direction and 5 to that direction. 5 is just from the middle point. It's 5. It's really 10 by 10. So Gemara says, well, so we know there in Yechezkel, how do we know that when it said 12, it really meant 24? Because it says there about the top of the Mizbeach, where their fires are, V'ha'ariel, Shtem Esrei, was 12 orech in length, V'shtem Esrei rochav, and 12 width, Ravua, it is squared el arba ravav to all of the four corners. V'tanya, we looked at a brisa. Shteim esrei orech, v'shteim esrei rochav, l'chol ruach, 12 in length by 12 in width to each side. O'eino, or maybe el shteim esrei al shteim esrei. Maybe it just means 12 by 12, not 12 on this side plus 12 on this side and 12 on this side and 12 on that side. It's just 12 by 12. Yeshua, since it says El Arba Srevav to its four corners. Melamed Shemei Emtzahu Modi. It's telling you that it's measuring from each corner. So it's talking about in the middle. So what it's saying is, it's not saying 12 amos by 12 amos. It's saying from this corner, 12 amos by 12 amos. Then from the next corner, 12 amos by 12 amos. Then the next corner, 12 amos by 12 amos. It's actually 24 amos by 24 amos. So since in Yechezkel, when it says squared, it actually means 24 by 24. Since in Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach, it also says squared. When it says 5, it means 10 by 10. Now, that's Rabbi Yehuda's view. Rabbi Yossi, what's he going to do? So he'll say, no, Ki Gamar Gzeira Shava, this Gzeira Shava, Ravua, Ravua, is not to link the Mizbeach of Moshe to the Mizbeach of Yechezkel. It's Begovu de Gamir. It's to teach us a lesson between the outer Mizbeach and the inner Mizbeach, and to tell you about height. To tell you, Mizbeach of Moshe, of copper was 5 amos long, 5 amos wide, squared. And then the verse says, Shalosh amos komas, was 3 amos tall. Dvarim kichsav de Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, that's what the pasuk is saying, that the Mizbeach is 3 amos tall. Rabbi Yossi Amar says, no, it doesn't mean that the Mizbeach is 3 amos tall. The Mizbeach is much more than 3 amos tall. Namar Khan, it says here, Ravua. It says about the outer Mizbeach, the word squared. Venamar Lahalan, it says about the Mizbeach HaPnimi, that it was the golden altar, the inner Mizbeach, was an Amma by an Amma, 1 by 1, and it was 2 amos tall. They also use the word Ravua, an Amma by an Amma, and it says squared. So Malahalan, so there when it says Ravua, it means the height was Govo Pishnayim Ka'arko. The height is 2, whereas 1 by 1, so that means the height is double the length. 2 of height versus 1 of length. Afkan, so to here, Pishnayim Ka'arko. If the Mizbeach of Moshe was 5 amos by 5 amos, the length is 5 amos, the height is 10 amos. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Yossi, how could you say that the height of the Mizbeach this is what Rabbi Yossi says. So it says Rabbi Yehuda to Rabbi Yossi, how could you say that? The Mizbeach is 10 amos tall in the Mishkan. Efshe Kohen Omed al Gabi HaMizbeach, the Kohen is going to be standing on this altar, Vavodu Biyado, with the service in his hand, V'chol Amrom Oso Mibachut, everybody's going to see him. After all, the courtyard, the height of the tapestries of the courtyard was only 5 amos. So if the Mizbeach is 10 amos tall, he's standing up on top. Everybody, even outside the Mishkan, can see what service is going on at the top of the Mizbeach. That doesn't make sense. So Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi said, no, it's not such a problem. Halo kvar nemar, because the verse says, Ves kalea chatzer, ves masach shara chatzer, asher al mishkan v'al mizbeach. It says about the tapestries of the courtyard and the screen around the Mizbeach. That's to tell you like this, my Mishkan, just like the Mishkan itself, was surrounded with tapestries, Esther Amos, that are 10 Amos tall. After Mizbeach, Esther Amos. The Mizbeach had tapestries around it that were 10 Amos tall. Va'omer, and then you have another verse that says, Kla'im, Chamesh Esrei Amo Ala Kaseif. The tapestries were 15 amos by the side. So that's to say like this, Ma Talmud Lomar, why did the verse say that they were Chamesh Amos, that the tapestries of the courtyard are 5 amos, and that doesn't mean that their height is 5 amos. It means really that their height is 15 amos. They're 5 amos, Misfas Mizbeach Lomala. In other words, the Mizbeach is 10 amos tall, and the tapestries around it are 15 amos. What are we worried about? People standing outside are going to see, because the tapestry is only 5 amos. And he's up on a platform, 10 amos tall. It's not true. Nobody's going to see, because there's a 15 amos tapestry. Uma Talmud Lomar, 1 second. Now, according to Rabbi Yossi, you're saying the Mizbeach is 10 amos tall, but the verse says it's 3 amos tall. What the verse mean to say? V'sholosh amos komaso, it's 3 amos tall. Misvas sovivulamala. Doesn't mean that the mizbeach is 3 amos tall, but from the ledge around the mizbeach, from there to the top, was 3 amos. Okay, so this is Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi interprets a gzeira shava ravua ravua to link the outer mizbeach to the inner mizbeach. And Rabbi Yehuda interprets the Gzeira Shava Ravua Ravua to link the outer Mizbeach to the Mizbeach of Yechezkel. Rabbi Yehuda, Ki Gamir Gzeira Shava Barachvu De Gamer. Rabbi Yehuda will tell you, when it says Ravua, it's not referring to the height of the Mizbeach, it's referring to the length and width. So that's what it's teaching you about. 1 second now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Hakimus Mizchazi Kohen, he doesn't think that the courtyard tapestries all around are 15 amos. He thinks they're only 5 amos. And according to him, the Mizbeach is only 3 amos tall. So one second, the Kohen now is visible. The answer is, yeah, he's visible outside. He the Kohen Mischazi. The Kohen is visible outside. But Avodah D'Miyodah Lo Mischazi. But the service in his hand is not visible. The body of him is visible. That's not such a problem. So now, Bishmal Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that there was not enough space on the Mizbeach of Shlomo for 142,000 korbanos, because there's only space, as Gavriel taught us, for about 12,000 korbanos. How did the Chsiv Kidesh? Now we understand what Shlomo is doing when he's consecrating. He's consecrating the courtyard that you can burn korbanos there too. El Rabbi Yossi, but according to Rabbi Yossi, my Kidesh, what does the verse mean when it says that he consecrated the courtyard? The Mizbeach itself was enough, because according to Rabbi Yossi, the Mizbeach of Shlomo had capacity for 400,000 korbanos. So why does he have to consecrate the courtyard? He wasn't consecrating the courtyard to light fires there, just Lahamid b'Mizbeach, to be able to put a Mizbeach there. Now, Bishmul Rabbi Yossi, according to Rabbi Yossi, who says that the verse's point is saying that now there's a new Mizbeach, so the old Mizbeach is too small. That's why it's saying the old Mizbeach is small, it's not used anymore. El Rabbi Yehuda, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's the new Mizbeach that's too small. So then, my katon, why does the verse say that the old Mizbeach is small? That's not the point. The point is that the new Mizbeach is too small for all that was needed, and therefore the courtyard had to be made holy. Yes, the Gemara Achikam, this is what it means. Mizbach avanim shet asa shlomo tachas mizbach anachoshes katan haya. You're right. What the verse is saying is that the court, the altar of stones made by Shlomo to replace the altar of copper was too small for the 142,000 sacrifices, and that's why he consecrated the entirety of the courtyard with the status of Mizbeach to light fires and burn the pieces of the sacrifices in them.
What we are worried about is seeing the Kohen.
It's not sanua, it's not modest.
Just the Mizbeach penimi?
No, we're talking about the outer altar.
And they are in the Azarai side.
No, but all the people outside the Mishkan could see too. Yeah.
The whole thing given off of just the straight line math and not about just the inefficiency of scale.
What do you mean by inefficiency of scale?
It's easy to do 1,000 components. It's not so easy to do 14,000 components.
142,000. But that was what you did on the day of the inauguration. It was a very celebratory day. Even though he had the capacity. I guess because whatever he consecrates is going to be lasting, so you don't want to make a lasting situation for a one-time, you know, day. For one day, you know, you try to accommodate what you can. So now, but my plea, what's really the core of the argument here between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda? So the question is like this: what do you do with this Gzeira Shava Ravua Ravua? Mar Sava Rabbi Yehuda holds on Chutz Michutz. He'd rather compare the Mizbeach of Moshe to the place of the Ma'aracha of Yechezkel, because you derive the outside from the outside. You don't derive outside from inside. Mar Sava, whereas Rabbi Yossi says, Dan Kli Mikli, better derive one utensil of the Mishkan from another utensil of the Mishkan. Vein Dan Kli Mibinyan. Versus deriving the utensil of the Mishkan, Moshe's Mizbeach, from the Mizbeach of Yechezkel. Amar Rava, so now we go back to our point. Why do we bring this whole thing? Said Rava, even though Rabbi Yehuda holds that the whole floor of the Azara was consecrated, that's only true in regards to Aktara Seimurim, to burning the insides. Modi Rabbi Yehuda B'dam, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the blood has to be on a Mizbeach, and that's why if the Mizbeach is damaged and you can't put blood on the Mizbeach, the Karbanos are all disqualified. The Tanya, we learned in a Brisa. How do we learn Rabbi Yehuda holds that? We learned in a Brisa. Karbanos Pesach, many of them would be slaughtered, obviously, in the Beis HaMikdash. So towards the end of the day, Rabbi Yehuda says, Kos Echad Hayim Emale, after slaughtering all the Karbanos Pesach, a Kohen would take a cup, put it down onto the floor where all the blood is flowing, and pick up a cup with blood from the floor. So that way, from each carbon, there'll be a little blood in this cup. And Midama Tarovas, so from the blood that's mixed, the Shovchal Gabi HaMizbeach, and he'll pour it on the Mizbeach. So that way, Shim Yishav HaKlamo Shalachas Mehen, if one of the Karbanos Pesach, the blood spilled, and its blood is not getting onto the Mizbeach, Nimtza Zemach Shiro, now a little bit of the blood will get onto the Mizbeach, and this act will make it kosher. Now, if you're going to say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the whole Azara has the status of Mizbeach, so then what's the problem? If the blood's on the floor, it's already on Mizbeach. Hayisavida mitzvasa, the mitzvah was done. It's like, Marcel, I'll tell you not. Maybe really the floor doesn't have the status of Mizbeach. But Mishum Kasavar Shvicha, Mikoach Adabinan. He believes that the pouring of the blood on the Mizbeach has to be by human hand. And here the blood maybe went straight from an animal onto the floor. That's why he has to pick up a cupful and pour it onto the Mizbeach. I said, well, if that's the issue, in Kenishkle Vinishbechle Aduchte, why does he have to walk into the Mizbeach? Take a cup and pour it right down here. Because here the floor is the Mizbeach. So I said, well, maybe the floor is Mizbeach, but maybe because we want a mitzvah in the most ideal way. So you don't have a proof. You don't have a proof from this source to what you're saying. It's true. Rava said it. Rava says that according to Yehuda, the floor has the status of Mizbeach in regards to Haktara, to the burning of the pieces, but not in regards to Matan Dam, in regards to the placement of the blood. He tries to prove it from the fact that Yehuda says that at the end of all the Karbanos Pesach, a cup full of blood is taken to be thrown on the Mizbeach. If the floor has the status of Mizbeach for blood, so let him just take the cup of blood and pour it back on the floor. Someone says, maybe the floor does have the status for blood. Maybe it does work with the Yevet. But lechatchila, it should go on the Mizbeach. So he takes a cup to make sure that the lechatchila happened, that the ideal happened with all the karbanos. Okay. We got into this whole discussion because of the issue that was mentioned yesterday, that if the Mizbeach is damaged, and I mentioned after davening, it means even if the ramp is damaged in any way, then that's it. The whole Beis HaMikdash stops. All the karbanos are no good. Then we had an argument whether it means that the karbanos that were slaughtered already are no good, or even the karbanos that weren't even slaughtered yet, maybe those also become no good because the Mizbeach is damaged. So now we move on. Not only are the karbanos disqualified when the Mizbeach is damaged, but you also can't eat karbanos that their parts were already offered once the Mizbeach is damaged. So Amar Belezer, Belezer said, Mizbeach shenivgam, if a Mizbeach is damaged, because of it, you can no longer eat the leftovers of a mincha. It says about the mincha, take the mincha left over after the fires. Eat it matzos next to the mizbeach. Do they eat the mincha next to the mizbeach? They could eat it anywhere in the Azara. Ellis, what's the point of the verse? Bismanshu shalim. Eat them matzos because of the Mizbeach. When you have a complete Mizbeach, you can eat Shiarei Mincha. But if the Mizbeach is damaged, you can't eat Shiarei Mincha. All right, Ashkechan Shiarei Mincha. That's a good source, Eitzel Mizbeach, for a Mincha. Kache, kache minon. How do we know that Chatos and Asham, that which is most holy, can't be eaten if the Mizbeach is damaged? Zei Rashava, Asher Kodesh Kodesh. It says about the Mincha, Kodesh Kodashim He says about Kodesh Kodashim that they are Kodesh.
But they do a
Kavachomer. It's not a Kavachomer, it's a Gzeira Shava.
Why can't you do a
Kavachomer? Oh. Maybe you could have, but you have a Gzeira Shava. Kodesh Kalami 9. How do we know about things like Shlamim or Bechor? You can't eat them once the Mizbeach is damaged. Amar Abaya, Abaya said, Asim Midrashad Rabbi Yossi. That we derive from the lesson of Rabbi Yossi. The time we looked at a braisa. Rabbi Yossi omer shlosha dvarim mishum shlosha zakenim. Rabbi Yossi said three laws from three sages. One law from each sage. Now on Samach Amid Beis. The Ze'echad may have, this is one of the three laws. Who is the sage? He's quoting it to Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael Omer. Rabbi Yishmael says, the Torah says that the Maaser Sheni, he has to be brought and eaten in Yerushalayim. Yachol Ya'al Adam Maaser Sheni Yerushalayim. Yachlenu Bizman Hazeh. Maybe even nowadays, when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash and we don't have a Mizbeach, you should take your Maaser Sheni to Yerushalayim and eat it there. After all, you have Yerushalayim. And I'll tell you, Vadinu, it makes sense. So I'll tell you, you can't do that. Why? Based on the following logic. B'chor ton avos makon. The firstborn animal has to be brought to Yerushalayim. It has to be turned into a carbon if it's a tam, if it's whole. And Maaser ton avos makon. Maaser Sheni has to be brought to Yerushalayim. So ma b'chor enu elo b'fnei abayit. So certainly b'chor, you can only do it when you have a Beis HaMikdash. You have to bring it as a carbon. Af ma'aser enu elo b'fnei abayit. So ma'aser sheni also is only eaten to be brought to Yerushalayim and eaten there when you have a Beis HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. So one second. If you're saying you want to learn from b'chor, ma'ala b'chor shkintan matan dam emun l'gabim mizbeach. B'chor maybe needs Beis HaMikdash because you have to put part of it onto the fires, into the Mizbeach. Maaser Sheni doesn't have to go to Yerushal, to the Mizbeach. Well, Bikurim Yochichu. Bikurim also have to go to Yerushalayim even though they're not thrown into the fires. But Mal Bikurim she came to an Anacha. But the Bikurim have to be put down in the Azara next to the Kohen. Tamalomas, okay, it's not based on simple logic, it's based on a verse. The verse links Maaser Sheni to B'chor and to Bikurim. The verse says, "Ve'aveisam shamol oseichem v'zivchechem v'asmasher oseichem v'aschumas yadchem v'nidreichem v'nidvoseichem v'choros b'karchem v'tzonchem." So the verse is makish. The verse is linking Maaser to B'chor, and therefore it's not just logic. It's from a verse. I'm telling you, my B'chor. It's just like B'chor. It's only when you have a Beis HaMikdash, Af Maaser, even to go and eat Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim. Nowadays, we don't do because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. It's Eino Ela Bifnei HaBayis. This is what Rabbi Yishmael said. Gemara is going to try to explain this lesson to Rabbi Yishmael. And then we'll see how Abaye learned from here that Kachim Kalim can't be eaten. Now that we don't have a Mizbeach, because you can't eat Kachi Kalim when a Mizbeach is damaged. So first let's go over Rabbi Yishmael. B'neheder Dino, why did you have to reject the ability of deriving from B'chor, that should tell you that you can't have Maaser Sheni nowadays, eat in Yerushalayim? B'nesi B'matzat, why don't you say there's a common denominator? B'chor has to go to a Beis HaMikdash. Well, you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, you don't have B'chor. B'kurim also has to be there. When you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, you don't have B'kurim. So, you should say the same. Maaser Sheni, without a Beis HaMikdash, you can't have it. So the Gemara says, no, Mishum Yikul Mifrach. I could tell you like this. Ma'alatzad Hashem Shemen Shekhen Yesh Ben Sad Mizbeach. Both B'kurim and B'chor have an element of Mizbeach. B'chor, the blood is on the Mizbeach, the insides are burned on the Mizbeach, and the Bikurim have to be placed next to the Mizbeach. So where there's an obligation of Mizbeach, and maybe now that we don't have a Mizbeach, you can't do it. But Maaser Sheni, there's no law of Mizbeach about the Maaser Sheni. It's about Yerushalayim. Okay, so that's why we needed a pasuk. Says the Gemara, my kasavar, what does Rabbi Yishmael think? What's his source that it was so simple to him that you don't have b'chor nowadays? If he thinks that the first consecration is still forever, then you could bring b'chor nowadays. Why does he say, well, you can't bring b'chor, you can't bring Maaser Sheni? You could bring b'chor. It has the holiness. If he thinks it's not holy, then he should have a question. Maybe if it's not holy, I could even do b'chor. How do I know that I don't have Bukhar nowadays? There's no holiness of the Beis HaMikdash. So Amar Ravina, Ravina said like this, Le'olam Kasavar, he holds, Kitcher Yishmal holds, and Kedusha Rishona, Lo Kitcher Lesed Level. It doesn't have holiness nowadays. V'achab Mayaskinan. And here, what are we talking about? The Bukhar Shen Israq Damo Kodam Chorban Abayis. A Bukhar that the blood was thrown before the Romans destroyed the altar, and then Bukhar of Abayis. And then the Romans destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. V'adayin Basar Okayim. And there's still meat of the Bukhar around. There's still meat of the Bukhar. And that's what's so simple to Rabbi Yishmael. It's true that the blood was given, but if the altar is damaged, you can't eat it. Why? Because iskash pisaro ledamo. There's a hekesh in Bukhar between the meat of the Bukhar, which is eaten, and the blood of the Bukhar, which is put on the Mizbeach. The verse says, Estamam tizrok ala Mizbeach, uvesaram yelach. Their blood you shall throw on the altar, and their meat shall be to you. So, madam b'mizbeach, for the blood, you need to have an altar. If the altar is damaged, then there is no service of blood. Af bizarro b'mizbeach. So, to the meat can only be eaten when there is a mizbeach. So, therefore, he knew that the meat couldn't be eaten because the mizbeach was damaged. Then the question is, do I derive Maaser Sheni from Bechor? Then he said, Asi Maaser V'yalef Min Bechor. He wanted to derive Maaser Sheni from Bechor. Then he said, maybe there's a difference. So there's a pasuk to derive Maaser Sheni from Bechor. So here's where Abaye's source was. That since Bechor, you can't eat the meat of Bechor when the Mizbeach is damaged. So that tells you can't eat any Kachim Kalim when the Mizbeach is damaged. So, one second. Let's go back to Rabbi Yishmael for a second. Chidavar alamid behekesh. The idea that you can't eat the meat of Bechor when the Mizbeach is damaged is not explicit.
Yeah.
It's from the fact that the meat is linked to the blood.
Yeah.
So it's a law that we learn through a hekesh. So chozum alamid behekesh. Can you now take it and now teach it further through another linkage? It doesn't say explicitly the meat of Bechor needs a Mizbeach. It says that the meat of Bechor is like the blood of Bechor. And then it says that Bechor is like Maaser Sheni. So how do you take a law that you're deriving from blood to meat, and then from meat to Maaser Sheni? You can't keep extending things with the Hekish. So Gemara says, no, that's only true in Kadshim. That's only true about sacrifices. Master Dagan Chulinu, but Maaser Sheni is not holy. So therefore, since it's not Kachim, you can take its law through a Hekish. That works if you say that you look at where you're learning to. But if you say that we follow where we're learning from Bechor, what are you going to say? So Gemara says, it's not that you're learning from the Hekish. Tam ubasar chada mil sahi. It's not that we learn meat from blood. It's that meat and blood are considered the same thing. Because the verse talks about damam and b'saram. And you can't eat the meat until you offer the blood. So it's as if it's one thing. Just like there's no blood when the Mizbeach is damaged, there's no eating of meat when the Mizbeach is damaged. That's true about Bechor. That's our source that you can't have Maaser Sheni today in Yerushalayim because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, that teaches us that all Kachim Kalim you can't eat when the Mizbeach is damaged. No, they're disqualified. No, it can't be used again. But if something is damaged, nothing can be done anymore.
So they would just skip that day.
They'd have to redo it. They'd have to repair and redo it.
Yeah, but the
you can't make up yesterday's carbon tamid today. Says the Gemara, a story. Kisalik Ravin, when Ravin went up to Eretz Yisrael, Amar l'shmaite kamed Reb Yirmiyah. He told this lesson before Reb Yirmiyah, that Abaye learned from Reb Yossi that you can't eat kachim kalim when the mizbeach is damaged. Amar, Reb Yirmiyah's response was, Bavloi tipshoi. The Babylonians are idiots. Amtul diyasvi ba'arach hashocha. Because they live in a very dark land, they say ideas that are very dark. And Rabbi Yirmiyah's point is that he thinks, unlike Abaye, even if a mizbeach is damaged, you could eat kachim kalim. So Rabbi Yirmiyah explains how he knows this. Did they not learn what we learned in a braisa? When the Mishkan would travel and they would take down the Mishkan, kachim nifsalim. Kachim are now disqualified. They can't be eaten. Zavon Mitzrayim, though, are still mishtalchen chutz lamachane. Zavon Mitzrayim are still sent out of the camp. V'tani duch yavad a second brice that says, v'shnei mekomos kachim ne'achalim. That in the terms of eating kachim, there are two places. On the one hand, you can eat them where the Torah says they can be eaten. That's when the Mishkan is up. And secondly, you can eat them anywhere, kachay kachim. When the Mishkan is down, there's a contradiction. So what's the answer? So my lavs have to say like this. Haba kachay kachim. Kachay kachim you can't eat when the Mishkan is down. Just like you can't eat the meat of kachay kachim when the Mizbeach is damaged. So, haba kachim kalim, but kachim kalim, even when the Mishkan is down, you can eat them anywhere. Because even when the Mizbeach is damaged, you can eat kachim kalim. So, I'm Ravina. Ravina said, no, idi b'kachim kalim. It's both referring to kachim kalim. Lo kasha, but it's not a contradiction. Harab Yishmael, harabanan. One is the view of Rabbi Yishmael who says kachim kalim cannot be eaten when the Mizbeach is damaged. And the other is the view of the Rabbanan, who hold that Bechor, the meat is not compared to the blood. And if the meat is not compared to the blood, if the Mizbeach is damaged, you could eat the meat. Because we don't say if you can't put the blood, you can't eat the meat.
לפיכך אין בעלה יתרו מכבוד שנאמר אדם החבר כמובן סיכוי דיר תורה ויביר יתגדל ויתגדל